Not a Tame Lion by Ruby Fruit. Summary: Adam knows what he's doing. Notes. Okay, so this is Jen. I know, right? I pretty much wrote it because Like Spring said I couldn't, and then I made her beat her it. I'm so mean, you guys. This title is from Narnia, which is not quite as gay as Ginsberg, but pretty close. Adam knows what he's doing. There's a reason it took his friends years to talk him into auditioning. He watches the show. He's seen Clay Aiken and David Hernandez and Danny Noriega. Adam knows who he is and who he will be expected to be. He picks Queen because it's just blatant enough and because it's difficult, which nearly backfires and then it doesn't. It's gauche for a Hollywood boy, but he maybe gets a little giddy when he kisses Paula's hand. There are too many layers for even him to count when Adam promises to surprise Simon. Simon just nods at him, amusement and knowing, and possibly a bit of respect. "You sure you're okay with this?" Adam shifts his phone to his other ear, shuts the fridge door with his hip. Pret scoffs at him. "Honey, I'll be your gay scandal any day. Now, how many do you want uploaded? Because we took a fuck of a lot of pictures." Adam shrugs, then adds a because Brad can't see him. "Three or four? Not too much." He sniffs cautiously at the carton. "Can Simon even go bad?" Brad makes an absent noise. Adam listens to the click of his mouse and the rustle of motion, because Brad can never sit still, and gets a little disgusted with himself for finding it comfortingly domestic. "Oh, I like this one. It's from 3 seconds you had your nipples pierced. They hurt. You do it if you like it so much, and no nudity." "Whatever. Wuss." Adam rolls his eyes for the benefit of the little bamboo plant above his sink and studies his translucent reflection in the window. Tall, pale, colourless eyes and too many freckles and that softness under his chin that only goes away if he gets crazy skinny. He overdid the dye. The sun picks out blue highlights in the black. It should fade enough by the time he has to be on camera, though. The new gauges in his ears still hurt like a bitch, and the fresh tattoo feels warm and alive on his wrist. The American Idol. It makes his stomach knot with too many things, want overwhelming all of them. It'll be a tightrope walk, and Adam doesn't know if he can pull it off. As badly as he wants this, he won't pretend and he won't be anybody's pet fag. "Listening to me, bitch?" Adam swallows his cereal too fast and winces. "Yes? The fuck you were. I don't know why I'm helping your pasty ass." Adam sighs, switches ears with the phone again. "Consider it payback for me being such a fantastic fuck all those years." Brad giggles sharply in his ear. "You were, weren't you? Now, are you serious about the no nudity thing? Because some of these..." "No, I am not putting my dick on the internet." Brad makes a whining noise. Adam is having none of it. "No fucking way, girl. I just want enough out there so they can't pretend I'm straight." "Good fucking luck to them with your flamey ass." "Pot. Kettle. Whatever." Brad launches into an explanation of his latest YouTube project and Adam closes his eyes in the afternoon sunlight and smiles. It's not something he'd thought about before, but it's really hard not to swear when they're live. Adam edits himself a dozen little ways and his mouth is always the one that's the closest to slipping. It takes him weeks to stop frowning when no one thanks the band after performing. Too many years in theatre. Everyone just assumes he disagrees with the judges and Adam lets them. Cheesy as it may be, Chris keeps him sane. One day in the middle of Country Week, which Adam will be billing Oprah for ulcer treatment, Adam grabs Chris around the neck in a hug and kisses him soundly on the top of the head. Chris endures the mauling with his usual affable grace. "Hi, Adam." "I love you, you know. You're like my little personal Prozac." Chris smiles up at him, rumpled and a little red in the face, and so cute it's honestly criminal that he's straight. "Thanks. I love you too, man." He hugs Adam and pets his back gently and there isn't a trace of guile on his face. Adam sighs and gives him one last squeeze before letting him go. He thought it would be tiresome rooming with a married guy, but Chris manages to be absolutely stupid in love with his wife without being obnoxious about it. Adam takes to listening in shamelessly when Chris calls her every night. The quiet back and forth reminds him of his parents before the split. Chris doesn't mind, even to the point where he starts calling Katie while sitting on Adam's bed with him. One night after Chris has hung up and shut his cell, which he's now trying to make stand up in the furrow of Adam's spine, he asks something Adam isn't expecting. It's strange, Adam is used to Chris being comfortingly predictable. Do you ever want to get married? It's hesitantly asked, and Adam likes Chris well enough to control that initial surge of irritation. He knows Chris isn't to blame for the douchebaggery of an entire state, but it's still a tender subject. Yeah, but you're taken. Adam turns his head on his arms. He can just see Chris, frowning at his hands and the curve of Adam's back. Chris huffs a laugh and pokes Adam's shoulder with the corner of the phone. I'm serious, man. This current bullshit aside, do you? Adam sighs silently and kind of wishes Chris was still talking to Katie about their matching kitchen set. Chris waits patiently, honest curiosity on his face, like Adam is one of his college buddies who just hasn't settled down. Adam isn't, and he's not really sure how to explain this. While you're growing up, there was always this idea, wasn't there, that you'd get married someday, right? Even if you never talked about it. Grandma's ring and everything? Chris nods slowly. I guess, yeah. Adam refolds his arms under his cheek and thinks he'd be more comfortable telling Chris about every guy he's ever fucked. That assumption isn't there when you're gay. And it's not entirely a bad thing, especially when you're young. Adam grins and Chris grins back, nodding in agreement. But as wildly and wonderfully varied as the scene is out there, it still gets a little old. And I'm giving you this whole lecture on a simple question, aren't I? Shit. Chris reaches out and shakes Adam's shoulder gently. Hey, no, I asked. I knew it wasn't as simple for you. Keep going. Apparently Chris never learnt the art of letting a guy take the easy way out. Adam blows out a breath, shifts against the comforter. My mum and dad were always... It never mattered to them, and that whole cheesy American dream, proverbial white picket fence, husband, dog, kid, environmentally sound car, they never saw any reason I still couldn't have all of that. Chris has abandoned his phone and Adam concentrates on the minute weight of it between his shoulder blades. He can practically hear Chris thinking. But, and this is shocking, I know, the gay scene for my age bracket is not exactly full of people looking for commitment. Adam lets his tone get arch and Chris laughs. I can't complain too much though, my 20s have been very educational. Chris blushes on cue. It's kind of wonderful. He also hugs freely, which is better. You'll find someone. Chris's voice is sure. Then again, Chris is married. Adam hums, noncommittal, unwilling to explain that he did find someone, but Hallmark doesn't make "Sorry I was a depressive freak for a year, want to try again" cards. Neil, who thinks the whole thing is hilarious, calls him at least 3 times a day. He doesn't particularly care if Adam answers. Neil is just as happy to leave his 3-part rants about Bill O'Reilly on his big brother's voicemail. It makes his mother worry, but Adam can't manage to be anything other than amused by his gay scandal, or alleged gay scandal, since no one but the gay bloggers seem willing to actually state it plainly. Adam tries not to wonder what exactly it would take to make them stop being coy about the whole thing. Those are dangerous thoughts for someone on live television. Adam wants fame, not scandal. One night after Megan's left and Adam's had to throw together a last-minute performance, Matt slaps him on the back and asks him if he's still glad he left Wicked for this. Matt's joking, but Adam tries to explain it to him anyway. how miserably frustrating it is to know that you can do what he can do, but still have to stand in the back and blend your voice to the chorus. With every week he manages to stay, Adam gets a little surer that he's not going to regret any of this. The end.